All right, what's up, everyone? Dr. Zeeshan here. Check it out. So today's podcast is going to be focused on vitamins, minerals, and supplements that are going to be on your boards. But I'm joined by a good friend of mine, long old school friend of mine. All right, so Dr. Romina just got certified as a
functional medicine physician.
All right, and where did you get it at, by the way?
Institute of Functional Medicine at the Cleveland Clinic.
There you go. So we're not talking any jokes here. We're talking about some real knowledge that we're going to drop on you, not only for the boards, but we're going to drop all types of real life uses for the things that we're going to talk about today, because it's great to have them for the boards, but people are going to ask you, well, what do I need this for? What is it good for? How is it going to benefit my lifestyle? And then we're going to also talk about how the boards are going to ask these questions. So with that, a little bit of background, Dr. Romina, what made you go into functional medicine? I mean, traditional medicine, you and I kind of did, and then I went off into education, you went off into functional medicine, so we had a bigger purpose. What drove you into that?
Well, I saw the way that people were getting treated in conventional medicine. It's standard bandage approach to everything, and people weren't necessarily getting better, and so the reason why I went to medicine, which we all normally do, is because we really want to help people.
Right.
And yes, it's good in the acute setting, but to get to root cause and to truly treat patients as a whole instead of just a body of organs and illnesses, considering the mind, body, and spirit and lifestyle components, that's what drove me into functional medicine.
Absolutely. And I think that's there's a bigger passion, a bigger project here with myself and Dr. Romina, where we actually have found, in my space of education, Dr. Romina, with you, and I'm going to say this for both of us, a lot of misinformation out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot. So when it comes to any type of supplements and any type of vitamins and minerals, or even things that are taught about the boards, many of my students will know that I'm like, wait a minute, what you may have learned may be slightly incorrect, and we double and triple check everything. You obviously went on and did your fellowship in functional medicine, just so we are providing the correct information, because so much stuff out there is actually wrong.
Yeah, you have to be careful what your source is, what the data shows, and see what fits for people.
Constantly evolving, as your field does and as education does. I mean, if those of you that are taking the boards or have taken the boards, you know how much the boards are constantly evolving, as is functional medicine, all the data that we're gathering as well, too.
Yeah.
So for the boards, before we get to real life, I'm going to talk about the B vitamins. And we're going to go one by one about the ones that are high yield. And then Dr. Romina is going to add in anything that she wants that will be real life for any of these B vitamins. So we're going to start with B1. So B1 obviously is known as thiamine. Synonymous, right? Like, people may think, well, B1 or thiamine.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of
it's people, interchangeable.
It is interchangeable, right? So yeah, B1 is thiamine. But in the hospital setting, we kind of see this a lot with, I mean, you've been ICU, ER.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We kind of pump people with this, right? Especially when they have like alcohol withdrawal
or malnourished, refeeding syndrome.
Refeeding syndrome. Yeah, we talk about stuff like that in GI. Yeah. I totally didn't even think about that. Yeah. So refeeding syndrome, we talk about it with alcohol withdrawals, alcoholism, all of these different things that deplete our actual levels of thiamine or vitamin B1. So a couple of things that we're going to look at with vitamin B1 is Wernicke's. So we learned that way back when, and now here we are teaching and talking about
it.
So do you have any functional uses for thiamine, just like a day-to-day type of a situation, or is it just kind of a good thing to just have in your body, period?
Yeah, I think along with the rest of the B vitamins, if you can't get it from food, or if your body is off balance and not able to absorb it, absolutely throw it in there.
So, and then we'll kind of get into, as we get into more of the Bs, because Dr. Romina has helped me with my vitamin regimen as well too. And we talk about B complex. So once we get through all the Bs, we'll kind of get into the whole idea of a B complex, right? So with thiamine, we talk about Wernicke. So for the boards, let's focus on that specifically. So we've got Wernicke's encephalopathy. So if we break down the words, Wernicke's is obviously the person who discovered it. But encephalopathy is going to be encephalo, which is brain, and then pathy, which is pathology. But what happens is that you develop a receptive and expressive aphasia. So what does that mean? Sounds like fancy words.
Yeah.
But how many times have we been around people that were completely intoxicated? Probably more times than we'd like.
academically and not academically.
Exactly. It doesn't matter where it was, med school or not med school. We won't say. But nonetheless, that receptive is the ability of that patient or that client or that individual to understand what is being said to them. That expressive aphasia, or the inability to speak clearly, or for anybody to understand them, is that expressive. So think about somebody who's completely intoxicated. And you're like, look, we need to get home. You are belligerent, right? I mean, yeah. Let's go home. They're not receiving what we're saying to them. That's that receptive aphasia. But at the same time, when you try to hear them talk, they're kind of belligerent. They're like, oh, well, I want to go. I want to hear. Like, you're like, dude, what are you saying? I don't understand what you're saying. So their expressive ability is also decreased as well, too. So thiamine is kind of one of the big board questions. Vitamins are kind of easy because for the sake of the boards, they're going to be freebie questions, right? I mean, even on our boards, when they popped up, they weren't really hard questions. It was kind of like you knew it or you didn't. Like, there wasn't really a lot of depth to vitamins. Maybe the Wernicke's kind of tying it in, but that's about it. But for the sake of the NCLEX, for sure, no thiamine. So the next one is B3. And B3 is niacin. So what is your take on B3 as far as like over-the-counter, as far as what the benefits of it could be?
Oh, yeah. It leads into so many cofactors in the pathways. So if you think about energy, you probably have gone through Krebs cycle, those biochemical pathways. Yeah, but how it ties into real life, it affects your energy level.
All right.
So you could do that and also detox pathways.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very useful. And there's different ways to get it. These days you could get it by mouth.
Right.
But you also see it at IV infusion clinics, right? It's like big.
Yeah, I think all the B vitamins are kind of making their way into the IV scene as well, too. For the sake of the boards, I think the real big takeaway for niacin is it is over-the-counter. All these ones that we're talking about are over-the-counter. So why do the boards like it? For that simple fact. Because, well, as we know, you can walk into any pharmacy, any type of grocery store, and there's a whole section now that's just dedicated to vitamins, minerals, supplements. But with niacin, it is very much so for the boards. They like it because of cholesterol. And because of the fact that it can help lower cholesterol, because of the fact that it's used for energy, and there's a side effect to it that the boards love, and it's called a niacin flush. So the thing about niacin flush and niacin in general that I would take away for the boards for our students is absolutely know that it's over-the-counter, energy, cholesterol. So now people are going to be using it. Overconsumption, is that an issue that you deal with your patients where like they just kind of grab and they take?
I think that's spread across. If you're just overly consuming all vitamins, you can be too healthy, right?
Right.
Too much of a good thing could be a little bit much.
100%. The big thing is balance. And with niacin, if you overconsume it or there's overconsumption, we're worried about that niacin flush. And how the boards like to get you is they try to get you as if this is an anaphylactic reaction. And the fact is, it's not. It's just a transcutaneous flushing. So that's treated with an NSAID. Give them some aspirin, they'll be fine. So that is B3. B6, kind of boring, but we need to know it.
Yeah.
So B6 is pyridoxine. Do you have any, aside from adding in the B complex, do you really have any type of use for it? Because,
you know, I'm kind of thinking back like, TB, when you treat for TB.
That's exactly what the boards.
I would say that's probably the
Yeah, way. Because we want to make sure for TB, so tuberculosis, we utilize B6 in conjunction with isoniazid.
And we use that still present day in practice.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Part of that RIPE regimen that we talk about, right? So remember rifampin, isoniazid, which is the I, pyrazinamide, and ethambutol. But with isoniazid, it is very hepatotoxic. So remember, your liver is in danger, but also it causes that peripheral neuropathy. And as we said in real life, you're still utilizing it till today.
Yeah.
Conjunction with isoniazid B6 to prevent that peripheral neuropathy. Great board question. Again, freebie questions. Move on to B9. So folic acid.
Mm-hmm.
Very That's important. So, so Dr. Romina not only is a physician, not only is certified in functional medicine, but is also a vet from the Air Force. Okay, I forgot to preface this whole podcast with that. A vet from the Air Force, a mother of two.
Two crazy little boys.
my little nephews right there. Yeah, so we've got mom, vet. I mean, you're super into health and wellness, obviously, but not just the nutritional aspect, but also into the like yoga and HIIT and all these things.
Fitness, yoga,
yeah, everything. So balance, how do you balance all that? I mean, just kind of doing a little bit of a tangent right now, but how do you balance all that doing, I mean, literally mom, wife, doctor, functional doctor. So you took on a whole nother scope. How do you, to say less, do it all?
Well, definitely needs a lot of support. Family support is huge. It takes a village. So I couldn't do it without all the support. Both like family and then a husband, right? Like it takes a team to do it. So with that, and my biggest, I firmly believe if you don't make time for your wellness and your health now, you're going to pay for it in your last decade of life, because it's very common these days, especially here, aging is frowned upon because people are decrepit, right? Yeah. But that's not the way people live. Like you look at the blue zones and people that take care of themselves, they're living into their hundreds and they're independent. So you can do that if you put it in now. So even if it's a little bit while I'm maybe stepping outside, getting a fresh, a breath of fresh air, taking in breath work, mindfulness, going for a walk, getting yoga in, I have to squeeze it in. Maybe first thing in the morning because maybe the day is packed.
Right.
There's always something. And HIIT, do 15 minutes. That's all I need, right?
Yeah, get the heart rate up. I tell people all the time, look, what we do in, it's on the podcast as well too, right? I do the breathing exercise as well too. We do it in our live course. We do it at the end of sessions just to get a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of stress release. It's surprising how much a little bit of breath work can take you so far as far as your mental health, right? Yeah. Just kind of give you a little peace of mind. But you did talk about one thing, and because we're talking about real life and boards here, we kind of want to make this a little bit more interesting than, oh, here you go, board stuff.
Yeah.
You talk about blue zones.
Yes.
Okay, so to my audience, do you mind explaining what a blue zone is? Because there's a documentary on Netflix talking about these areas in the world. But if you would be so kind as to explain to us what a blue zone is.
Of course, yeah. It's the way that certain areas of the world that are located. There's only one in the United States, Loma Linda, California. But the rest of them, if you think about it, it's Japan. We also have like Greece and a couple other places. But generally, what you've noticed as that the main factors, of course, you could do lifestyle, do the right things, eat right, mental health, all that. But the biggest commonalities was a sense of community, a sense of purpose, and relationships. And that's what kept people going.
Really? Yes. So it wasn't just diet. There was a lot more that encompasses. More to it.
Yes. And that tells us why it's so important to get a holistic approach to our health.
Okay, so I want you to name those three things again. I'm going to show you all as students how, as maybe as practicing nurses, as students, as those of you that have graduated, those three things that you talk about blue zones have. They have, what were those three things?
Community.
Community. NCLEX High Yield is that,
exactly.
All right?
Exactly. Yeah, you have that support system.
Okay.
Right? Like loneliness is a bad factor against you. Community brings
exactly.
You together.
Exactly. So community. Yeah. What else is there?
Relationships.
Relationships.
Supportive
relationships. So what do? I say this all the time. Every time we're on a podcast, every time we're on a free weekly Zoom, I always talk about our community and how everyone is so supportive. When you jump into the course, the first thing I say is I don't want any negativity in here because, well, we're not going to allow it, period. Whether it be from our end or from students' end, we don't allow it. And what's the last one?
Sense of purpose.
And a purpose. And what I always say, our whole staff says this, remember your purpose. As a matter of fact, I believe it is in our coloring book.
You know, I love that because art is therapeutic.
Isn't
There's
it?
So many ways to have stress relief. And especially while people are gearing up to study, gotta take care of your health.
You know,
in many ways.
It's so funny because we actually created this. Our team was very adamant about doing stuff for mental health because obviously we talk about it so much. And it says right there, remember why you started. Oh. So look at that. Remember why you started. The best is yet to come. Oh, just little coloring doodles. We call it the nursing doodles.
And it's so, so encouraging.
Yeah. Like, it's not just for kids. People like, they don't realize that art can be coloring, colored pencils, so markers, or actually painting, or whatever
it is.
There's
so much out there. People do art therapy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And art is not limited to what you see. Exactly. It can be what you hear, too, because, as you know, I love making music. So, yes. I remember those days, right? But, yeah, so... now I totally went on a tangent because we started talking about B9 and that kind of prompted the whole mother thing, because we use folate and folic acid, and you clearly prescribe it as well too. So main purposes that you use it for real life.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you go back to alcoholism. That's right. Also one of the vitamins you throw in there. And the big banana bags, right? When you're acutely in the hospital,
the yellow banana bags. Yeah, the yellow banana bags.
So that's one. And then also, especially if you have like bariatric surgery, also again, if you're malnourished. But again, within the wellness realm to optimize your health, it's one of those vitamins, the B vitamins. Folate is one of them.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then because it sparked the whole mom thing, we use it. So for the sake of the boards, obviously alcohol for sure. We use it as one of the main B vitamins that it gets depleted in that. But the boards love it for prenatals. Why is that? Because as a further teaching for the intervention type of a question, somebody's going to come and say, well, I'm not pregnant right now, so I don't need to take it. But in actuality, we start them when they start to think of conceiving.
Exactly. You want to build up the amount in your body.
Yeah. And the main reason is that, and this is kind of what, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the world, like we all, maybe those of you that are listening and those that are in the medical field or that have pursued the medical field, we kind of understand a lot more than the normal person does. And in that aspect, a lot of people they're not privy to or do not have any type of healthcare,
right?
Let alone prenatal care. So they don't know that things that they were doing may lead to neural tube defects. And that's one of the biggest reasons why the boards love it. This is one that they may ask you the dose. And the reason why they may ask you the dose is because if you're going to start somebody on prenatal vitamins, you want their folic acid to be at 400 to 800 micrograms. But now let's take it to farm and let's take it to mental health, because we could use, or neuro, we could take phenytoin, which is going to deplete our B9 levels. And in that situation, we're going to double the amount of folic acid. We're going to go up from 800 to 1600 micrograms. So board question right there, further teaching, further intervention, or a straight freebie, or to tie it to a diagnosis of neural tube defects. So a lot of great questions that come out of folic acid. And the last B vitamin that we talk about is probably the one that is the most common, or the majority of people know about.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it is cobalamin.
Yes.
We can't even say it without laughing at this point. There is definitely cobalamin. But when we look at our vitamins, unfortunately, a lot of our vitamins that we take over the counter, multivitamins.
Yeah.
They're in what form do you typically see?
Oh, yeah. It's not the well-absorbed form. It's not the well-absorbed form.
Yeah. So it's typically going to be written out as cyanocobalamin. Myself, Dr. Mina, we kind of say, look, if you look at cyanocobalamin in your vitamins and you're taking it orally, probably the whole thing is no good.
Yeah.
I mean...
And because it's not methylated.
Yeah. It's so funny, because this is our nerdy side coming out, because in biochemistry they say, in order to activate, you must methylate. Mm-hmm. We're
speaking to the right crowd. It's okay.
I'm just saying, we're total nerds and we own it, okay? It's all good.
Yeah.
It's not methylated. So the one that you're looking for is, you definitely want methyl cobalamin. But for cobalamin, there's a lot of things that we see it... either we're, you know, patients are deficient in or need it. So what are some common ones that you see in real life?
Oh yeah. Anemia.
Yeah. Pernicious anemia. Yes. Right. Or, yeah. Where we're losing our intrinsic factor.
Yes. Exactly.
So, like gastric bypass surgeries,
mm-hmm.
you know, big where they time. Cut out a portion of the stomach that produces intrinsic factor. And I'm gonna slow down here so you understand. Intrinsic factor produced by the stomach helps us with B12 absorption. Like, we need it to actually absorb that B12. What other situations have you seen maybe in your actual real life patients where like you need B12.
Yeah. I mean, of course in the hospital if you're deficient, but if you're looking at the wellness and the optimal to thrive, people, I mean, you see it, it's everywhere. It's one of the ones you want the injections.
Yeah.
You want to have the energy. It does build into multiple pathways in the body. It goes back to all the biochemical pathways.
Yeah.
It's key to it. So if you're not getting it from food, if you're vegetarian.
There you go. Yeah. Or vegan.
Yeah. Yes. Not saying that it's impossible. You'll have to find the right supplements, right? So those are real life issues when you're deficient.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, more so than I've seen ever in the past, a lot of people are tending to trend towards that. Do you see a lot of vegan diets now, a lot of vegetarian diets now, more so than you've ever seen in the past? Or is that just something that I'm noticing as well too?
I think before it was more cultural or beliefs.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing it more because there's so many factors, right? There's some people that don't want to eat meat, or maybe it's just a preference. But yeah, I'm seeing more and more veer away from animal
meat. Yeah.
But I think it goes back to also clarifying misinformation, right?
Yeah.
Animal meat is so good for you if it's the right type. Like if you want to get organic grass-fed, it's good quality. It's well-absorbed. B12, multiple other minerals and vitamins. It's the best way to get it. Red meat is okay in, of course, moderation.
And the
right type.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that's not to say that any type of veganism or vegetarian diet is not... you know, it's not a good diet.
Yeah.
It's just that there are other ways or decent ways to be able to do it. But again, if you're an animal rights activist, or if you're cultural or religious or this and that, then there are ways to get that B12 as well.
Protein powders.
There you go.
Pea proteins. That's like one of the good ones too.
Yeah, absolutely. Pea protein. All these things, they have a lot of good B12 because again, the way the boards are going to ask this is, I do like now, because we're starting to see a lot of that, what's it called? We see a lot of the gastric bypass and gastric sleeves now.
Oh, yeah, right?
We're seeing a lot of those surgeries being done, a lot of those procedures being done. So with that, we definitely want to educate them on that intrinsic factor not being made and the B12 maybe having to be taken. So again, if you're taking an IM or intramuscularly, cyanocobalamin is just fine. However, if you're going to take it orally, we want methylcobalamin. And again, in those people that have had gastric bypass, gastric sleeves, vegan diets, vegetarian diets as well too.
Yeah.
So those are your B12s. But again, that comes down to B complex. So now, Dr. Amina, when you talk to your patients, because you do everything individually, right?
Right.
Now, what's the benefit of doing it individually? That's like what I tell my students as well too. Like, I got to answer your question to you, not as a whole. So what is the benefit of seeing each individual patient?
It's like each student, right? Everyone learns differently. Each person is made differently. So it's not going to be a standard approach. Yes, you may have like a common disease like diabetes, right? But everyone in mainstream, in conventional medicine, gets the standard approach. But what's your root cause, right? So a common one, everyone's tired. Everyone's anxious.
Yeah.
But what's your root cause, right? Mm. You don't want to just throw a medicine. You don't want to throw like benzos and SSRIs.
Yeah.
You want to figure out what's the trigger, what's the root cause. And it could be anything. Is it lifestyle? Are you not sleeping enough? Is there like anxiety that's building up you're not relieving? Maybe past traumas that build up. Maybe you're just not getting enough movement.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not eating right. Maybe deficient in vitamins,
right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, there's so many
variables,
root causes.
Yeah.
That if you try to get to it, it pulls you a long way.
Yeah.
It helps you thrive and have a longer, more fulfilling life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so we talked about like the whole mental aspect of it. And it's kind of funny because we actually got this right in front of us.
Yeah.
We started taking this little elixir, and it's definitely something that for us people that are constantly on the go, that are, you know, studying hard, that have jobs, families, whatever it is that we've got going on in our life and still trying to build, it's important to have that nootropic.
Yes.
And you talk about, you know, all the different things that you get, all the different benefits from this. And we talk about that ashwagandha.
Yes.
Okay. So now you need to school me in on ashwagandha and my students on ashwagandha, because it is in this nootropic called Magic Mind that we take. I mean, we're about to take one right now. It's so funny because this thing is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm introducing Dr. Romina to this, but Dr. Romina read it and was like, ashwagandha.
Right.
So talk to me about that, because it's a nootropic and ashwagandha. Yes. What about it?
Yes. Like, so much out there, right? But I was also looking at the other ingredients, right? Ashwagandha, it's one of those, you can call it a nootropic, you can call it an adaptogen, because it has many uses. It's one of the, I would say, if you want to do like a one hit for everything, that's the one.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Like,
it gets you everything, right?
It does.
It hits your mood.
Stress,
exactly.
Mood, yeah.
Hormones, right? Let's gets your hormones. Yeah. Helps, like, it's the one hit.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is you combine it with all these other ones, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's just so cool, because if you have like caffeine, but you don't want to like be jittery.
Yeah.
Especially like, too much. Yeah. It kind of takes the edge off, but you want the focus. And so you have not only the ashwagandha, because yes, it helps with it. I mean, you have to take it every day. It's not going to hit right away. It's
right,
one of those
right.
you have to take
consistently.
Yeah.
You've got to do it. And that's why we do this on a consistent basis, which, I mean, look, Magic Mind was kind to offer our students before we get into more of it.
Yeah.
They were actually really kind to offer our students and nurses and anybody that's listening to the podcast a discount. So in January, this coming January, they're going to help crush 2024 with your New Year's resolution. So you're going to get 1 month free when you're subscribing for 3 months. And that is amazing.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is go to magicmind.com/JANNCLEX. So Jan and then NCLEX. And you can use that with my code, and it's an extra 20% off right now, which gets you a total of 75% off. So enjoy it, because at the end of the day, that ashwagandha with the stress and anxiety and everything like that, whoo, helps me. And nootropics, we're big on, period.
Oh, yes.
Adaptogens, we're big on, period. So the one thing about this is I want you to tell me honestly what you think about the taste. Let's do this.
Yo, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. So the one thing I always get scared of, because I've taken this so many times, I take it so consistently, I always get scared of taste. I'm very sensitive to taste. So I don't like too sweet. I don't like bitter. I like that happy medium. What was your honest opinion right now?
You know, the aftertaste is kind of fruity.
It is.
But not too sweet.
No, exactly. I don't like too sweet.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that artificial sweetener taste where it kind of sticks in your
mouth.
You're
like, I don't think this is really good for me, but this, not bad.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like it. And the thing is, I really like how you have many good ingredients to balance out, including the ashwagandha. But looking at it closer, there's other nootropics that you use, like there's rhodiola.
Right.
And so those you can also use for mood balancing, depending on, and we can maybe like talk about that later when you get into hormones and like adrenals and stress and stuff.
Oh yeah, we have a whole endocrine section on that.
But
yeah.
Like, there's certain things that targets that too. And then you got like lion's mane, which helps with focus, mushrooms,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
The good mushrooms. Good God, you got turmeric, anti-inflammatory.
Absolutely.
Then you got like phosphatidylserine and L-theanine, which if you think about green tea, L-theanine, to even get a good amount, you have to like drink so much throughout the day.
Right.
I mean, to have it mixed in here, that's brilliant.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
we love it. We're huge fans of Magic Mind. And which leads us to a couple of other things that we should have in our body as well, too, board related, going back to that as well, too, is iron and vitamin C.
Yes.
Now, both of them work synergistically. Iron, so real life, where do we get iron from? Where do we see deficiency? What are the problems without having iron in real life?
Yeah, you can get iron from lots of food. Spinach, like there are certain fruits, other vegetables. Of course, if you eat meat, you can get meat. And of course, you need it. You need it to hold on to hemoglobin,
right?
There
you go. Hold on to that hemoglobin. Yeah, need our red blood cells to function properly.
Yeah. Energy,
yeah.
Right? Then you've got energy. If you're
100%,
like
oxygen levels, everything. So people that become anemic, you see the first sign or symptom, and we're talking about boards now with people that are going to be anemic. The first thing they may complain about is actually fatigue. You know, they might start feeling lightheaded, or if you get a little bit more severe, they get pale. You know, again, they're not holding on to that hemoglobin. So the thing about iron is for the sake of the boards and you having two little boys, is it's not found in milk.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal, because a lot of people, they're, you know, globally, their primary source of nutrition is actually milk, because it's accessible, it's filling, right? Especially in poverty-stricken, you know, areas as well too, where milk kind of gets you through. That's just kind of how it was growing up. That's kind of how it is in other areas of the world. But that leads to, in the long term, that anemia.
Yeah.
So remember, with iron, you're not going to find it in any type of milk unless it's a cereal or fortified. So we want to look for that word, fortified. And then also, if we're going to give iron, give it with vitamin C. Vitamin C and iron absorption go hand in hand. So for the sake of the boards, remember that. Which leads us into our subsequent topic, which is calcium. So calcium and vitamin D. So I know for a fact that there's a whole plethora of real life applications to calcium and vitamin D. So please enlighten us.
Oh my gosh. Yes, of course. So there's so much data out there on vitamin D.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually dropped a whole bunch of information on my Instagram too.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we'll drop in the bio, by the way. We're going to put it in our podcast, and we'll put the link to Dr. Romina's actual Instagram and podcast and all that good stuff as well too, so you can start following Dr. Romina.
Yeah.
But yeah, so what about vitamin D?
And calcium helps with, you know, preventing osteoporosis, of course. But then also goes deeper. It plays into mood, especially, I mean, you know, you call it the sunshine vitamin.
Yeah.
But there's so many factors that affect that, right? Absorption, whether if your skin can absorb it, if you're getting seasonal affective disorders.
Yeah, mental health right there.
Exactly,
yeah.
Right? If you're in a place that, or winter.
Yeah.
Winter, right? You're not going to get much sunlight. So you need it, because it'll affect your bones, affects your mood, it affects your gut.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so tied into everything.
Yeah.
Vitamin D, especially.
I kind of feel like nowadays, I mean, you know, throughout it's been a while since I graduated medical school. And, you know, when nowadays I kind of noticed that even when we get blood work done, people are ordering vitamin D levels and vitamin B12 levels.
Yes.
Because of the importance of it.
Yeah.
And like, we found that there is a deficiency in a huge population.
There's a big percentage, especially, like, I would say, especially in the United States, because I would say overseas, other countries, they're more open, have a better, I would say, quality of ingredients.
Okay.
Like, the developed countries.
Right.
Whereas in the States, it's very common to be deficient.
Do you think that deficiency is increased post-COVID, since now people are working at home?
I think so.
So yeah. I'm curious to see what the data shows on that, because I do feel that a lot of people that are working from home, and how about us that were studying for boards or are studying for boards, do you think that we're getting that proper amount of sunlight that we really need to convert that vitamin D into, you know, the beneficial active form of it? And I don't think that we may be kind of cooped up a little bit too much there. So for the sake of the boards, what do we need to know? I think calcium being a big deal with osteoporosis. So know the reasons why osteoporosis occurs. So one of the main ones that I want to talk about is a common drug over the counter, which is a proton pump inhibitor. So a lot of people suffer from GERD. How often do you see people with GERD that kind of just pop these pills over the counter, but yet you can help them decrease just consuming chemicals with a natural way? So what are some of your pieces of advice for people that suffer from that acid reflux or that GERD?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely do everything conventionally. If you need to get a scope upper and lower or whatnot, make sure there's nothing serious going on.
Right.
But then after that, PPIs or the proton pump inhibitors are not the long-term goal to keep on that, right? Again, it has so many side effects.
Yeah.
So yeah, you want to get down to root cause. What are you eating? What time are you eating?
Yeah.
Are you sleeping right after, right?
Yeah. Those smoking, drinking.
Exactly.
Yeah, a lot of these things, hereditary, like family history, things of that nature. Again, signs and symptoms, risk factors, that are all your select all that apply questions right there. So again, with proton pump inhibitors, know that it decreases calcium absorption, which in the long term, as Dr. Romina just pointed out, is not something we want to be on long term. We want to kind of get under the root cause, but we want to do things the correct way as well too. So those are our main ones for the boards. Romina, thank you so much for joining us. Last words to my students on just study tips on how to keep their anxiety down? How about that?
Yes. Even if you feel like you don't have time, You do, because you're going to come back, clear your mind, find something that makes you happy and reset. Something small.
Yeah, and it, like we said, little baby steps. Do something a little bit for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no guilt in that.
No.
And I think a lot of people feel that, oh, I'm taking my time away from studying to go on the treadmill for 10 minutes or go for a walk outdoors or do something for my own sake.
Exactly. Just reset. Start small.
Reset. I love it. Dr. Mina, thank you again for joining us, and we will see you on the next episode. Take care.